Everybody, welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church and those out on Facebook, and if there's any out in the parking lot, we appreciate you coming. But Brian's done got most of my announcements. Like he said, tonight we're having the service tonight out in the tent. We had real good service last year, so come out and be with us tonight. And also next week, Awana will start, so amen. Be in prayer for that and all of the workers. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again, Lord, for another opportunity to come and be in your house, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for our pastor, Lord, as he stands behind your pulpit today to bring the word that you put upon his heart. I just pray, dear God, that you bless him in a mighty way. Lord, I just pray that hearts and minds will be receptive. Lord, forgive us of our many failures. Lord, just be in this service in a special way today. Most of all, Lord, if there's one who knows you not as personal Savior, I just pray, dear God, that this would be the day that they would come and give their heart to you. Go with us, lead and guide and direct us, for it's these things we ask in your precious holy name.
Good morning, church. We have set next Saturday as a work day at Mr. Jesse Bull's house. That's down Angler's Way over to the bridge going toward Gate City where they're working on. Take a right, go down about a mile and a half. It's on the left. You can't miss it. It sits up in the air 10 feet. So if you miss that, you're going to end up down Hancock County and Kyles Ford and Knoxville. So. But we're going to meet here at church at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Miss Peggy and some of the other ladies are providing food for us. We'll be taking that down that Saturday morning next week. Probably take a church van. So if you want to go with the group, meet here at the church, let me know. Let Miss Peggy know, but let me know if you're going to go work. Bring your screw gun, a battery, extension cord, a hammer, a saw, and anybody else you want to bring. But be there. We need workers in the field. As Jesus said, the fields are wide unto harvest, but there's very few workers. So if you want to work, let me know. Don't say I might or I may. If you're not going to be there, that's okay. But if you're going to be there, let me know today. Before you leave, find me and tell me. And we'll meet here at the church at 8 and go down there to do a day's labor for this lady. And thank you for those who can go, and thank you for those who can't go, because you're showing your love either way. Thank you.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I asked a question last Sunday. Everybody remember what it was? First question I asked. Are you here to worship the Lord?
Amen.
Okay. So let's clear our minds and our hearts, and let's just do that. So let's all stand and sing number 16, "O Worship the King."
Thank you.
this morning. Let's go. Let's get another one here, number 202. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Before the blood of the you, choir. Brother Ken, Sister Ernestine. And it's good to see all of you here this morning. We will be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But before we get going, we fix to go back in the holler, all right? Where I'm from, it'd be we're going to go down the dirt road a little bit. But take your songbook. I was amazed that this song is actually in our songbook. Turn to page 608 in this songbook. And, you know, this weekend we're celebrating Labor Day. The idea of this morning's message is six thoughts about labor, six biblical thoughts about labor. So I'm going to ask you to sing this song as I was preparing for the sermon this morning, the message this morning. This song kept coming to my mind, and I text Sister Ernestine for daylight this morning. Anybody remember this song? If you remember it, say amen. All right, so then you know where to how to do it. Let's stand and let's sing this, all righty? Sister Ernestine, if you would. Tell somebody you love them around you. Thank you, Sister Ernestine. I hope, Brother Otis. All righty. I hope that's going to kindly be our desire this 2022-2023 church year, that we will work because we truly don't know when He's going to call us home. It very well could be today. Amen? But until then, we'll work. Amen. That's good, Brother Danny. That's good. We'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But it's good to see all of you today. So thankful you made the effort to come out. It is Labor Day weekend, and there's many other places to be, and you could be, but thank you for being here. And if you're visiting with us for the first time or the 50th, our desire today is just to make much of Jesus. At least that's my heart's desire. And if you're watching by Facebook today, if you're listening over the radio, again, thank you for being here, and we count you as an honored guest today. We do ask you to come out tonight. Again, it'll be worship in the field. Last year, it was very fun. Almost had a type of a camp meeting type feel to it. Our praise team will be singing there. And Lord willing, last year we had around 100. I'm hoping we do more than that, simply for the glory of Jesus Christ. But if you've, as you're turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, if you don't know it, or in case you haven't heard it this week, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Do we have any word of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Yvonne? You've been missed too, sis. You've been missed. Anyone else? I give God thanks. Both my youngins was out of the house this weekend. A long weekend. A long weekend. Now think about it. Amy's off Friday and Monday, and we ain't dead yet. Huh? I think there's hope for us after the last one gets moved out. Isn't that awesome? All right. I would ask you to stand with me in honor of God's Word as we look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. For yourselves know how we ought to, that ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this place and these people. Because Heavenly Father, Lord, for such a time as this, not just this morning, Heavenly Father, Lord, but as we consider the state of the Union, we consider the state of our communities and counties around us, God, that You have called us to this place, not by chance or accident, but You have a purpose and a plan. And this morning You brought us together, Heavenly Father, Lord, and we pray that through the Holy Spirit You speak to us. I ask You to forgive me of my sins, take my mind and take my heart and take my mouth, and let me speak the words You would have me to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read this passage to you again out of the Christian Standard. Now we, Paul meaning himself, Silas, and Timothy, command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, specifically he's writing to the local church there, to keep away from every brother and sister who are idle and does not live according to the traditions received from us. For you yourselves know how you should imitate us. And this is not the first time that Paul said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says, be ye an imitator of me as I imitate Christ. We were not idle among you. Verse 8. We did not eat anyone's food free of charge. Instead, we labored and toiled, working night and day, so that we would not be a burden upon any of you. It is not that we do not have the right to be supported, but we did it to make ourselves an example to you so that you would imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, this is what we instructed you. If anyone is not willing to work, they should not eat. For we hear that there are some among you who are idle. They are not busy at work, but are busybodies. Now we command and exhort such people by the Lord to work quietly and provide for themselves. But as for you, brothers and sisters, local body, do not grow weary in well-doing. And may God add the blessing to the reading of His Scripture. Now, to be honest with you, the passage I just read is not, in the modern culture we live in, is not politically correct. How dare we say that if someone is not willing to work, then they ought not eat? And Paul is not talking about the invalid. Paul is not talking about those that have got to a state in which their bodies are unable to work, or he's not talking about those whose mind have not developed enough for them to carry out a steady job. No, he's talking about people who outwardly, seemingly have the physical and mental capacity to carry out a job, but instead what they do is not get busy with their hands or with their minds, but they're busy going around causing trouble within the body of Christ. Just busy bodies. And I would say this today, that probably in most modern day churches of America, you're not going to hear this passage preached on very much as well. Because the attitude that we are owed something is the dominating attitude in America. The attitude of privilege. The attitude of you owe it to me. Matter of fact, I heard the other day about a girl, and y'all might have seen this on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever, about a girl who sued her parents for them to take care of her, give her a weekly salary or a monthly salary. And here was the principle of her case. I did not ask my mom and dad to be born, so it's their duty to take care of me. I heard it passed and then it got struck down. But this week we're celebrating Labor Day. I want to give you a brief history of labor according to history.com and the Department of Labor.gov. Labor Day is an annual celebration of workers and their social and economic achievements. The holiday, which would become nationally recognized, originated during one of America's most dismal chapters of labor history. In the late 1800s, at the height of the Industrial Revolution in the United States, the average American worked 12 hours a day and 7 days a week in order to eke out a basic living. Despite restrictions in some states, children as young as 5 or 6 toiled in mills, factories, and mines across the country, earning a fraction of their adult counterpart wages. People of all ages, particularly the very poor or recent immigrants, often faced extremely unsafe working conditions with insufficient access to fresh air, sanitary facilities, and breaks. And I'd say here in my country that it was probably very bad. The idea of a workman's holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September caught on in the industrial centers across the country, and many states passed legislation recognizing it. September the 5th of 1882, New York was the first state to officially celebrate Labor Day. Congress would not legalize the holiday until 12 years later, when a watershed moment in American labor history brought workers' rights squarely into a public's view. And on June 28, 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed it into law. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that in the time where we live and the environment that we live in, that there would be such a day presented as the National Workman's Day, that we're going to honor those who work and who put in their time, honest day's pay, a work for an honest day's pay? You know what they say? Well, it'll trigger people. That's what they'd say, wouldn't it? Well, for those that won't work, or whatever it may have, it's going to trigger them, and they would feel, their feelings would be hurt. But that tells you where we've come. Now, and you know, if you've been around me very much, that I not always feel compelled to preach sermons that are in accordance with specific holidays that America is celebrating, especially if it's simply a federal holiday. And while I love the United States, and believe it's one of the greatest country, is the greatest country of all time, and that it was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics, I believe that in many places, the American dream has been substituted for authentic Christianity. You see, in many places today, if you've got the white picket fence and you're a patriotic American, then many equivalate that to being a good Christian. No, being a Christian means that you've repented of your sins and you've recognized Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that if you've accepted Him, and that not by your own works, not by your own bootstraps have you pulled yourself up, but by the grace of God. And that's the truth about America. America didn't pull itself up by its own bootstraps. Jesus Christ blessed America and has lifted it up to be a light on a hill that is shining. However, I believe that labor, work, or a career is an honorable and a respectable endeavor. And that not only is it honorable and respectable, but it is a biblical principle that honors our Creator. And that is one reason we see it becoming less and less a vital part of American society. Because it honors God, and our country is completely turning away from anything that honors God. So while this message today is not one that I came up with, and it came from many commentaries and sermons that I've read, I do want us to look at six biblical truths. As we celebrate Labor Day, as we celebrate the workman's holiday, I want us to look at six biblical truths concerning labor. The first one is this: since the beginning of time, from creation, labor has been ordained by God. Since the beginning, or from the start of creation, labor has been ordained of God. Look at these passages. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, meaning Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, rule the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." Now jump down to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Look what it says. "The Lord God took the man, Adam, and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it." Do you hear that word? Work it. In our Americanized Western culture, many people, even true, genuine believers, have come to a mistaken conclusion that in the Garden of Eden, all Adam and Eve did was simply lay around naked all day and have a love fest, feeding each other grapes, strawberries, and passion fruit. No, that wasn't all that was going on. You know what I mean? This was not sandals, okay? This was not all that. And I'll tell you something else. Many, even genuine believers, think that when you die, for all of eternity, we're going to turn into angels, we're going to sit on clouds, and we're going to strum a harp. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You know that? Praise God. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. We're going to do stuff. We're going to rule and reign. There's going to be stuff to do. We're going to be active. But look, I want you to go back and look at verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1. Notice what it says. It says to subdue. And when I looked it up in the Hebrew, guess what the Hebrew word is? Kibosh. How many have ever heard, "Let's put the kibosh on it"? Well, listen what it means. Subdue, or kibosh, means to conquer and to control the environment. Let's put the kibosh on it, right? Let's control this thing. And that's what Adam and Eve were called to do. They were called to subdue or to control the environment. You say, "Well, it was perfect there." Yeah, but hey, there was still stuff that had to be done. You were a representative of the Creator of all of the universe. You think that you're just going to No, man, there was stuff that needed to be done. There was cultivation that was being done. Hey, who knows, they might have been some, crossbreeding of the plants and stuff like that. Who knows what was going on there? But also, if you look there in verse 25 of chapter 2, in the KJV and the King James, the word is dress. But the word literally is work. Work. And it means to labor, to expel energy and intensity while performing a task or a function. That's what God set them there to do, was to expend energy and intensity as they dressed and subdued and as they did all that God had called them to do in the garden. God called them to be workers. Listen to something else. Jump to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. This is what we're told about God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were created in 6 days, remember? By the seventh day, God completed His, what? He completed what? His work. And that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. Now, as far as I know, Genesis chapter 2, there in verse 2, that word work is the same one as Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, where it means to expel energy and intensity as you perform a function. Listen, not only were we created to be workers, not only were we created and ordained to be laborers. Listen, when God created man and woman, what did He create us in? In His image and in His likeness. And when we labor, when we work, not only are we being obedient to God, but we are resembling the very one. He works in our lives. He worked to create the universe. And hallelujah, He created us to work as we represent Him in this society. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that we were made in His image? And that when we labor, we reflect our Creator. So, number one out of the six biblical truths concerning labor, from creation, labor has been ordained of God. Number two, labor is not a punishment for humankind. Labor is not a punishment from God on humankind. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2, verse 24 and following. There is nothing better for man than to eat, drink, and enjoy his what? Work. I have seen that even this is from God's hand. Because who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from Him? Now these are the words of the great King Solomon, the wisest of all men. And he says basically the pinnacle of our creation, the pinnacle of our life here on earth is to enjoy what God has given us to eat, to enjoy what God has given us to drink, and enjoy the labor that God has ordained upon our lives. Amen? Now, I know that because humanity fell into sin, labor and work has become more difficult. But still, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, where it says, "You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, from the dust you came, and to the dust you will return." But still, it's not a punishment from God. Listen to how Solomon's father, King David, describes labor. Psalms chapter 128, beginning in verse 4. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy, and it will go well with you. Your wife will be fruitful like the vine within your house. Your sons like young olive trees around your table. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. Now, notice that happiness and joy begins with fear of the Lord, having God in His right place. But notice it also says that you will be blessed and you will surely enjoy the labor of your hands. How many of you have ever enjoyed a punishment? I didn't like it when my daddy got the belt out. I didn't like it when he cut down the sapling tree to come in there and whoop me with it. I didn't like it when they took the car away from the weekend. So how in the world can we say when he says we're going to enjoy our labor, we're going to enjoy our work, how can that be a punishment? It's not. It's a blessing from God. Remember, in that labor, we're reflecting Him. In that labor, we're doing what we were created to do. I found this to be true for myself. I've witnessed it in my children and other men and women that the Lord has allowed me to interact with who have fallen on hard times. My boy, here lately, and I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of Maddie because they worked, they went on their own. But Talmadge will stay out till 11 o'clock at 11:30 on a Friday night and get me up before sunrise on Saturday morning so he can go work. And when he gets home, he's sweaty, he's dirty, but you know what? He feels good about himself. He feels that there was a purpose in that day, and he was able to accomplish that purpose. Same thing with women. Because when we labor, when we fulfill the purpose that we were created to do, then we are filled with fulfillment and joy and purpose in our lives. Amen? Hey, I can't say I've always enjoyed the work that I was doing. But when you go to a job site and there's nothing there, and then at the end of the week there's four walls and a roof on that, you know what? Makes you feel pretty good about yourself. And I don't care, man, woman, boy, or girl, when you work and you labor, you enjoy and respect the fruits of your labor more than you do when it's handed to you. It's a proven fact that as money and wealth are passed down to the next generations, it is less appreciated and it goes faster and faster with each and next generation. God has intended for us to labor, and therefore it is not a punishment from God on mankind. Number three, honest labor is honorable in the eyes of God. Honest labor is honorable in the eyes of God. Listen to Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Consider the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without a leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during the harvest. How long will you stay in the bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms in rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit. I remember the old cartoon about the grasshopper and the ant. Y'all remember that? Old grasshopper come through and he had his fiddle and he was hitting it on that fiddle. Yeah, I'd say if you've got Disney Plus, you could probably watch it on that. But he's hitting that fiddle and he's trying to throw them ants off and all that. But the ants, what did they do? They gathered up the peas. They gathered up all this stuff. And then it fast forwards the winter. And the old grasshopper comes through and he's in his tattered clothes and all that. But praise God, I think these were Christian ants. And they let him come on in and they fed him from all that they had done. But notice, Proverbs has a lot to say about work and those that will not work. But throughout Scripture, now notice, I did say honest labor. You're not an assassin. You're not a art thief or a diamond thief or anything like that. But throughout Scripture, We're given the Lord's perspective on labor through His men that the Spirit inspired to write Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. For the Scripture says, don't muzzle an ox while he's treading the grain out, and the worker is worthy of his wages. Honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Amen? Even Jesus, when He was speaking to His apostles about them going out, and really what they were doing, well, they were missionary work. But notice what He says, Matthew 10:10. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Honest day's work, honest day's pay. And you see, God distinguishes between two types of labor in Scripture. Matter of fact, how many of you have ever heard of the ill-gotten gains, right? Proverbs 10:25 and following. Ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death. The Lord will not let the righteous go hungry, but He denies the wicked what they crave. Idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring riches. The son who gathers during summer is prudent. The son who sleeps during harvest is grateful. Now notice, what we see here is that clearly God establishes that there are certain types of labor that He does not respect. There are certain types of labor or expense of energy that He does not think is right. Therefore, it's a sin. But there are other types of labor that He sees as honorable, and therefore it is a righteous act in the eyes of our Creator. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that? Well, hey, I know none of us like to get up and go to work. But when we do, we can say, I'm doing something righteous in the eyes of my Creator. I'm doing something what's right in the eyes of my Creator. And just there are labors that are not respected by God. I believe that there are certain labors, certain careers that are specifically not only honored by God, but they're a calling of God. And I'm not talking about ministerial things. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. But one of them is law enforcement. I tell you, God allowed me this week, Brother Jason Collins, if you remember, we've been praying for him almost 90 days, I believe it is, as he was going through the police academy. And what we went up there and they allowed me to present him with the Bible as his chief. He's a deputy there, or a troop, whatever they call them down in Gate City. And I was able to be there with his chief. And then they allowed the chief to present him with a coin of commitment and honor. And they allowed me to present him with the Scofield Bible and claim a passage of Scripture, which was Esther chapter 4, 14. For such a time as this, there was a preacher there that said that know your purpose there. But this is what stood out to me. This was the largest class, 22 men, that they said they had ever had there in the Bristol region. And here's what they were so proud of, the men that had brought all this together. Because right there, at this point in time, at this point in history, nobody wants to be a lawman. Everybody, if you listen to the majority of the media, law is evil, they're wicked, and they're hated. And there are bad ones. I agree, there are bad ones. But let me tell you this. The authority that has been appointed, according to Scripture, has been appointed by God Himself to bless those that do right in the law and to punish those who act against the law. As we live in a country that is rebelling and rejecting our God and our Creator Jesus Christ on every corner and every bound, yes, it makes sense that we're going to reject the authority. That is what anarchy is. And praise God and thank God for men like Brother J.C., Brother Jared, who will go out and may not come home. May not come home. That's honorable. Any God's God. I'm going to tell you another one that I believe is a calling. Education. And I'm not talking about those that send out their teaching assistants to teach the class in college. I'm talking about the rank and file that serve in the small backwoods schools in this area and many others. My daughter, as she was getting prepared to go off to school, I set her down and I said, "Well, I guess if I'm paying for it, I ought to know what you're going for." And she looked at me and she said, "I'm going to be a teacher, Daddy." I know, I ain't going to make much money. And I looked at her and I said, "Listen, teaching is an honorable trade. And matter of fact, it should be honored more in the pay." And I'm not just saying that because my wife's in the system. They put up with more. No, I'm not talking about just from the students, from the parents. It is a calling that our educators, from custodian, bus driver, laborers in the cafeteria, those that are medical in there, all of them are blessed, and we're blessed by God to have them. And then the next one is this, as we think about honest labor, being honorable and righteous in the eyes of God. Yes, even politicians. Even politicians. I know that most of them lie to us. All that they're really caring about is the next election. But the Bible tells me this. It ain't took God by surprise. He's allowed them to be in their positions. And everything's going to His plan, right? And just like me, when they get to heaven and they stand before God, they're going to be held to a higher standing. Just like I believe law enforcement, military, and things like that will be. But honest work, think about this, honest labor is respected in the eyes of our Creator. Praise God. Not only when you get up in the morning do you say, "Hey, I'm going to work, I don't want to go to work, but guess what, I'm reflecting the Lord." You know something else? You could say, "God respects my labor. God honors what I'm doing." Number four, as we talk about six truths, six biblical truths according to labor, or about labor according to Scripture. All of our labor should be as unto the Lord. Everything, all our work, our career, our job, whatever you want to do. And it's just not those. I mean, anything that we do should be done as unto the Lord. Look there, 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do everything for God." Whose glory? God's glory. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 6. "Don't work only while being watched in order to please man, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart." Can I tell you this? If the job, if your 24, your 40 a week is not what you feel like God would have you to do, then get out of it. Many places is hiring right now. Go to where God wants you to be at. Notice, it goes on to say, verse 7, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, "Serve with a good attitude, as unto the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive it back from the Lord." Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through His name." And I'll be honest with you. One day this week, it was one of them negative days. You know, you get up, everything's terrible, nothing's right. And then, especially after preaching last week about the attitude of ingratitude, I've been trying to watch out for it and all that. But man, the flesh and the situations of life was really getting on me. But praise God, I got a text from somebody that said something about, "Thank you for being positive. Thank you for being positive." And you know what? I text them back and said, "You don't know how much that was needed in that moment." But that carries. And here's what I thought. How much different would our attitudes, our work efficiency, and our overall job or whatever experience be if we had these verses on our desk, on the dashboard of our truck, as a screenshot of our phone? How much would it change? Because most of us, when we're at the 9-to-5 or 8-to-4 or whatever it is, most of us ain't thinking, I'm doing this for Jesus, are we? Most of us are thinking, I'm riding the clock if I can just get to the end of the day, right? If I can, hey, if I can hide somewhere, I'll hide somewhere. I mean, I'm being honest with you. Like it or not, this is how we think. But we need to remember that each and every action in our lives will be accounted for. And as Christians, or literally those who look like Christ, we should leave such an impression as a good worker that our employer would want to hire other Christians. Right? That's what it says. And therefore, whether it be our career, where we volunteer, community work, our church service, all of our labor, all of our expended energy and intensity in performing a function should be as unto the glory of the Lord. Number 5. Don't let this one get you down, okay? But we are intended to labor until we're dead. We are intended to labor until we're dead. Listen to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and following. And he said to Adam, because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. Yet it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from the ground. For you, from dust you came, and from dust you will return. Yes, I know how this sounds. And it sounds very depressing. How horrible almost. However, God does not look down upon or prohibit you retiring from your job. He doesn't look down on you having a 401k or a diverse investment portfolio. He don't even look down on you for getting your Social Security. But how many of us right now know someone that worked all of their life and retired, and within a year or less, they're dead? You know what happens? Lost a purpose. Lost a reason to get up in the morning. Lost a reason. You see, we were created to labor. That doesn't mean we always got to have a career, but we're always to be about something. Why? Because we're created in the image of God, and He works and He labors, and in that we find fulfillment and purpose. So whether it be a job that pays, volunteering somewhere like at the hospital with candy stripers or some type of hobby, we have to endeavor to keep our hands and our minds active until the Lord calls us home. Amen. So even in retirement, even when you get prepared to retire, don't say, I'm going to just do nothing. Say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to work. Hey, I'd come up here and do something. Just walk around, pull onions out the ground. Get outside, weed eat. Do something like that. Maybe you can't do that. Then do crossword puzzles, things like that. Pray. Talk to people about whatever, you know, be a mentor to whatever you were in your job. Get somebody underneath you. But God created us to labor until He calls us home. That's where the idea for the song that actually, where it comes. We'll work until Jesus comes. Do you know, as a believer and in the Bible, you never see a retirement plan in there. You don't. The retirement plan that God has for us is after this life. And then the last thing is, so stay active in some type of labor, not only for the Lord, but also for yourself. Amen? And then the last one is this. Our labor is a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, I was going to say our labor is an opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. But really, the actuality of it is that our labor, our work, our career is a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. See, notice what he said. Your job should not cover up the light of Jesus. And it gives light for all those who are in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, you know, I don't believe in chance or accident, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. But in our Wednesday night study of the parables of Jesus Christ, this was our focus. And what we see in this, and where it's recorded at in Mark and in Luke, that there is a central truth in this parable. And that is that Jesus Christ has placed in all genuine believers His light. And in doing so, He not only expects, but commands for the light that He has placed in us to permeate the world in which we live. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt permeates the meat and keeps it from going bad. And so that our Creator might be glorified. Through our work, through our labor, through the expelling of energy and intensity to perform a function, Jesus says, I should be glorified in it. Listen to this. Good or bad, godly or ungodly, every day, whether it be at work, our regular comings and goings, each of us manifest and illustrate a powerful message about who we are and what we believe. You hear that? Every day we reveal to those around us a powerful message about who we are and what we believe. Now, we don't think about it at work. We don't think about it when we're watching our youngins play or we're working in the concession stands at the Friday night football game. But in that, we're either being a positive witness for Christ or we're being a negative witness for Christ. But here's the awesome thing. As you and I, as believers, the world needs us to be that. It needs us to demonstrate and to manifest that powerful message that Jesus Christ's light is inside of me and He's changed me from what I was. No, I ain't perfect. No, I mess up. But praise God, I'm different than those that don't know Him. But listen, the way we work, the quality of our work, the attitude in our work is a witness for Jesus Christ. Remember what it said in Ephesians chapter 6? Don't work while you're only being watched in order to please men, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from the heart. Again, the way we work, the quality of work, and the attitude in our work is a witness for Jesus Christ. Listen to this. And it could be the only real way to earn the opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? There's a lot of people don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. They've heard it from this one. They've watched the life of their uncle, their aunt. They've worked with men and women that profess to be this and that, and then they had affairs, they ride the clock, and they do all that. But when you let the light of Jesus shine in you, the way you work, the quality of work, and the attitude within your work, you may just earn the opportunity to tell them about the greatest labor of all. The greatest labor of love that has ever been performed. And that is the labor of love on the cross of Calvary. That Jesus died for my sins, for your sins, for their sins, for whoever sins. And we might just get to tell them that they can be saved in that moment. But as we celebrate Labor Day, we're living in a time where the work ethic is something of the past. It's becoming more and more. However, having a strong work ethic and being committed in our labor is not only morally positive, but it is biblical in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask our song director or our piano player to come this morning, but I'm just going to ask you to stand with me right now. Number one, the biggest part of this message today is that Jesus Christ came and labored on my behalf. And He labored on your behalf. So if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask you right now to come and to give your life over to Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that He's not ashamed of me, and He will not be ashamed of anyone who professes His name on that day. And so I'm just asking you, and even if you're watching by Facebook or listening, would you today declare that the work He done is the work that you want to receive in your life? Here's the second part. Will you commit today, and you ain't got to come to the altar, but it's Labor Day, right? It's Labor Day weekend. This is what we're celebrating. If I said, everybody put your head down, and if you're a Christian, raise your hands up, I'd say that 99.9% of everybody in here would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, right? So here's what I'm asking. This is the part, this is the invitation. Will you commit to laboring for Jesus until He calls you home? Will you commit to allow the energy that you expel in accomplishing a task to be for the glory of the Lord? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now. If you're willing to do that, God bless you. But we're going to have a word of prayer, and I don't want you to forget that if you need to talk to me, if you need to talk to one of our deacons, praise God, we would love to show you what the Bible says about salvation. But we will labor until Jesus comes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your goodness. And God, I'm thankful that You've called us into labor. You've created us to work. It's not a punishment. It's not that you're mad with us. But God, You want us to be like You. You've made us in Your image. And so today, as we are a part of the new church here at Thomas Village, and whether they're members or not, God, I just pray that our hearts, our minds, that we will be of one mind, one heart, and one spirit, committing to that we will labor for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ until He calls us home. And all God's people said, amen. All right, don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock, worship in the field. If you will, please try to be there between 4 and 4:30 to help us get set up. God bless you. I love you, but nobody loves you like Jesus. Yeah, the tent.